Christmas messages can always be challenging, and this one is certainly one that started off as a challenge, and God has blessed us, and you're going to be so glad that you are here today. This will be a memorable day. Not that the message will be memorable, but this will be a memorable day. And you'll be glad that you, as a part of the Westgate Memorial Baptist Church family, made an effort to be here today for this experience. You ever felt like you didn't get the memo to something? That's kind of one of our cultural metaphors when something happened and we felt like we were out of the loop and we say, I must not have gotten the memo on that one. Possibly your Christmas was something like this. You went over to a relative's house and when you showed up for the dinner, they asked if you brought the dessert. And with a panicked look on your face, you say to yourself, I must not have gotten the memo. Maybe just before the semester ended, you were in school and you showed up and everyone seemed to be holding an extra piece of paper. And it was homework that they were all turning in and you could swear that you never heard anything about it. And so you pleaded with the teacher, I didn't get the memo about that homework. Possibly you've been at work, busy in your office, and all of a sudden the intercom goes off. And they're asking you if you're going to be able to attend the meeting. And you wonder, what meeting? And you walk into the conference room and everyone is there and you feel like you didn't get the memo. Or maybe yesterday when a gift was opened and you saw on the side of the box that batteries were required, not included, and you turned to a spouse and said, did you get the batteries? And you had that panicked look because you didn't, and you didn't get the memo about the batteries. This morning, I want to share with you the Christmas memo that a lot of people don't seem to have gotten. Turn with me to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, there's a very interesting passage of Scripture. They're talking about who Jesus is, the people that are following after him, the people that are wondering about him, the people that are listening to him. And Jesus has just given this incredible statement that out of the individuals who follow him, there will be rivers of living water flowing out of them. Incredible statement about who he is and what he has come to give us in this abundant life. And then an argument ensues with the people that are listening. Listen to these words. It says when the crowds, beginning in John 7, chapter 40, it says when the crowds heard him say this, some of them declared, this man surely is the prophet. But others said, he's the Messiah. But still others said, but he can't be. It's impossible. Will the Messiah come from Galilee? For the scriptures clearly state that the Messiah will be born of the royal line of David in Bethlehem, the village where King David was born. So the crowd was divided in their opinion about him. When you read that verse of scripture, do you get the sense that somebody didn't get the memo? Surely Jesus can't be the Messiah because he's from Galilee. We all know that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Somebody should have Googled it, for goodness sake. Where was he born? Sometimes people don't get the memo about God. And I would dare say that maybe some of us, even in this room, haven't gotten the memo from God about Christmas. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Luke 1:37. It's the verse that I alluded to when I was talking with the children a moment ago. And you remember the story, talking about the virgin birth. Mary is a willing participant, but she is saying, I just don't see how this could happen. This sounds absolutely impossible. And then the angel gives us what I want us to call the Christmas memo. Nothing is impossible with God. There are things in life that seem impossible in your life and in my life. I want to show you a picture of Penrose Staircase. This is made by two guys, Lionel and Roger Penrose, back in the 50s. You've probably, if you took art, you have studied this and you have seen this. But look at this staircase for just a moment. In this article published back in 1958, it talked about impossible objects. And what do you notice about that particular staircase? Once you get on it, you can continuously go down in one direction or continuously go up in the other. Isn't that kind of strange? It seems like an impossibility. And in our lives, there are many things that seem impossible. And so I want to simply ask two questions for all of us today as we get the Christmas memo that nothing is impossible with God. The first question being, what seems impossible for you today? What seems impossible to you today? Christmas is about the revelation from God that nothing is impossible with Him. But what are you experiencing today? You think about the Christmas story, it's filled with impossibilities. A virgin birth. In case we didn't get the memo, that had never been done before. How many stars are in the universe? You should have been listening last week. 300, how many? Sextillion, which is roughly the same number of cells in all of humanity on the face of the earth right now. 50 trillion times 6 billion. And God used one of those 300 sextillion. I should have been here. 300 sextillion stars. He used one of them to supernaturally guide the wise men to where Jesus was. You think about the night sky being lighted up with angels. Anybody here ever seen that? To us, that seems like an impossibility. And to them, it seemed like an impossibility. And that's why they immediately left to see what this incredible thing was that God was telling them. A worldwide census. Why is it at this particular juncture in time that all of a sudden Rome goes into a worldwide census that would cause Mary and Joseph to leave where they were from to go to Bethlehem so Micah 5:2 could be fulfilled, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the town in which they did not reside or live? You think about the dreams. The dream that Joseph received that kept him in relationship with Mary, rather than to leave her and divorce her. You think about the dream of the wise men, so that rather than going back to Herod and revealing where the Christ child was, they went back another way. It is amazing as you look at the Christmas story of all of the different miracles that seemed impossible. What seems impossible for you today? What seems impossible? Is it a financial situation that seems absolutely impossible and you wonder, will I ever be able to overcome it? Are you facing a health issue in which you say, this seems absolutely impossible, I don't know how I'm going to face this or go through this? Is there a relational conflict in your life, maybe at work, maybe at home, and you wonder, will I ever be able to overcome that? Will there ever be healing and resolve? For some of us, there's an educational impossibility. Will I ever be able to get into school or ever be able to get out of school? Those are always two kind of go together. Can I get in? Can I get out? Well, look at the impossibilities in our life, a job situation that you just think, I don't know how much longer I can continue in this. The impossibilities of maybe an addiction. And you wonder to yourself, will I ever be able to overcome this? When I started, I never dreamed that it would have a hold like this on me. And now I wonder if I'll ever be able to get rid of it. Some of us have fears, unfounded fears, maybe founded fears, and it seems impossible that they will ever, ever go away. Some of us wrestle with guilt over something that has happened in our life, and it feels impossible for the shame to ever be taken away. Some of you deal with inferiority issues in which you wonder if you will ever be able to overcome those. It seems impossible to ever see yourself as a person of significance and value. Not to become egotistical, but just to see yourself as a person of value because you feel so worthless and behind and inferior to everyone else. Some of you are facing sexual issues and you wonder, will I ever overcome these particular issues that I have to address? What seems impossible for you today? Don't just leave it for me to answer. If you don't write it down, note it in your mind. What am I facing today that seems absolutely impossible? The second question for us to consider is, what seemed impossible for you before God intervened? It's so helpful for us to look back in our lives and see where God has worked in our lives. And to be reminded, you see, that's one of the dangers of living a busy life. We feel so inadequate when we're not just filling our calendars full of activity and being productive and industrious. And when we begin to live so fast and so quickly, one of the dangers is we have a tough time remembering what has happened. And we have a difficult time reflecting back and saying, God, where have you moved in my life in ways that seemed impossible? And then you look back and you celebrate and say, oh, God, I remember when this looked impossible. And then you intervened and it was manageable. And you brought healing and hope into our lives. Anybody been there? I dare say all of us have. A time in which it looked absolutely impossible. And then God intervened and something miraculous happened. I want to share with you today a story of something that seemed impossible to me. As a pastor, it's difficult in the fact that you, and I'm not asking for sympathy, it just comes with the job. It's difficult because you see very few tangible results of your work. And so you regularly question yourself, does it matter that you even exist? And you wonder, is anything being accomplished? And so it's always helpful when God shows you something tangible in your life. One of the tangibles for me this year was looking at our church budget. Budgets are not everything. And I want you to be real clear on that. This story just happens to be about money. And we look at the church budget, and you noticed if you follow those kinds of things, unfortunately, my guess is we follow that probably more closely than how many baptisms or what else we're doing. And you've seen the budget week after week after week get further behind. In nearly 13 years of being here, I'm not sure that I've seen the budget get that far behind before. But there's a sense of understanding, recession, layoffs, fear. Understand that. But there was a stress of, okay, when it all is said and done, you're the guy that sits in the chair. It's your responsibility to inspire and motivate people to be obedient to Christ in their giving. But God finally got a hold of me this year. It was a holy moment for me to say, quit trying so hard. It's not what you do. God was saying, it's what I do. I had a holy moment just a few months ago when I came to the realization that I was trying too hard to motivate our congregation to do some things. And God reminded me, you can scream, holler, spit, and wind your watch, and it may not move some people. Only I can do that. And I began to think about that, and I said, God, that's so true. And I think I've depended more upon hopefully inspiring people through words and messages and relationships and visits. And so, like a golfer that quits holding his club so tightly, I just began to let go a little bit. I said, God, whatever happens with all of this, I'm leaning on you. A little over a month ago, we received an offering, a special gift, an individual gift that almost caught us up to our budget. It's an enormous gift. And I remember thinking, I didn't have a thing to do with this. That's a good feeling. And I just thank God. And I said, you know what? I'm so glad, God, that you let me see a tangible. And I thought, you know, maybe there's a shot of us ending up okay financially here. Again, that's not the only thing, friends. This is just a story about money. It's a sense of relief that maybe we're going to be okay. I need to affirm the staff in front of you as a congregation. They have done a remarkable job of managing the budget and cutting back on expenditures. Not a single one spent their budget. Our stewardship committee that gave direction and insight and guidance to what was going on. Susie, our treasurer. A lot of work to just make sure that things are okay. And then this last week, I woke up, turned to the Bible as I do almost every single day, and I read from the yearly Bible calendar. Incidentally, Max Barnett will be here next week on January the 2nd. I'll be here. We wanted to start the new year off with Max Barnett being here. He is the one that introduced our church to the yearly Bible reading calendar, something that I've done ever since. Each year, just keep reading through the Bible. It's been, as I've said, it's not the only way to read the Bible. Many of you do other things, but for me, it has been the most spiritual transformational thing that I've done in many, many, many years. And so I sat down and I went to the passage of the day and I read from Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9. And each day, in front of my computer at home as I read, I try to note something that just kind of stands out to me. And I wrote Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. It says, the Lord's name is far greater than we can think or say. And that was the thing that I put down that particular day, and I said, Lord, thank you that your name is far greater than I can think or say. And then I just threw a little extra in there. I said, God, help me to realize that in deeper measure today. And I prayed it just like you have prayed so many times, with a full expectation that nothing would happen. You still with me? Because you should have been laughing on that one. How many times do we pray with a full expectation that what we pray for will not happen? I thought, you know, maybe a little something nice would happen. But that verse, the Lord's name, is far greater than we can think or say. Later that day, we received a check that paid off the entire debt of this church, including the parking lot. I had to share that with our stewardship committee several times because they kept on thinking, okay, now all we have to worry about is a parking lot. I said, no. Parking lot included. Westgate Memorial Baptist Church is no longer in debt. By the time the day ended, I'd received two checks totaling over $310,000 that slid across my desk. I looked to see if they were made out to me, but they were not. And then I thought of that verse. The Lord's name is far greater than we can think or say. So I started digging through files. And I pulled up a letter that we sent out in 2006, at the end of 2006, with a Determined campaign. And I'd kind of forgotten about it because I was coming to the end of the year thinking, you know, it looks like we may make budget. That'd be nice. Parking lot's finished. Now we're going to have to start paying on that. We've got to manage the indebtedness that we have. And I'm not a real big guy on numbers, but when you're the pastor, you think about that. And so I pulled out this letter and I started reading over it. Listen to what it says. Let me just hit some of the highlights. Friends, remember what we're talking about in the message? What seemed impossible until God intervened. This particular letter talks about a determined campaign in which we would need to go into this building campaign to do a lot that needed to be done around the church. Understand, all this occurred before Hurricane Ike or the greatest recession since the Great Depression. We're talking and saying we need a total of $495,000 in addition to our church budget over the next 3 years to make, and listen to this, this was written in 2006, something that, a letter that we just kind of thrown to the side because things had changed so dramatically. Because this was after we had been through Hurricane Rita. Attendance had dropped, people had moved away, monies were down. And we started reading this, and it's what it says. Over the next 3 years, we hope to make the following improvements to our church campus, correcting the drainage problem of our existing parking lot. Check. Building 50 new parking spaces along the east side. That seemed impossible, believe me. Now we have 68. Necessary repairs of our building, most of those have been completed. Renovation of restrooms, some still need to be done, but for the most part, that has been done. Expansion of some classrooms. We still need to do a few, but we've done some of that. Signage needs to be replaced. Courtyard, landscaping improvements, that's been done. Renovation of old sanctuary choir and choir room. Audiovisual equipment. Lighting, carpeting, seating of sanctuary. The estimated cost of these improvements are $975,000. Approximately half of this will come from our church budget, and the other half will come from those willing to give above their tithes toward the Determined campaign. A targeted goal of $495,000. This will allow our church to be debt-free and have facilities. That are adequately balanced by the year 2010. This is the end of 2010. God doesn't always come early, but he's never late. I realize, and I need to say this, that you may not have given that big check, those big checks, three big checks, over the course of the last couple of months. But those of you that are in the game that are giving, you're a part of this. Oh, we all wish that we could strike the big check, I know. And I'm so thankful for the people that do. But all of you are a part of it that participated. And I want you to know that. From the child who dropped in a penny to the person who was able to write a check for hundreds of thousands, we're all in this. And for those of you who come on Wednesday nights to pray, I want to encourage you. Each Wednesday night in this big room, we have about 24 people that show up for prayer time. That seems impossible to me because I've longed for so long that this would be a crowd of Wednesday night praying together. But for those of you that do come on Wednesday nights, you'll recall that we prayed for God to do something supernatural with the resources of the church. We prayed for that on a Wednesday night. Several times, repeatedly saying, God, we don't see how it's ever possible. And something pretty incredible has happened. That's why today we're taking a celebration offering. I was feeling stressed about where we were financially before all of this tremendous help came in. And then when I got home, Michelle asked me why I seemed so stressed. And part of it was, is there is that sense of gratitude for what had happened, but the sense of stress, okay, now what are you going to do? Because Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. You're the guy that's supposed to offer leadership. What are you going to do? What is the next step in response to this? And that's where my stress came out. I began to pray, God, what do we need to do? And the only logical conclusion for me was is take a celebration offering in which every bit of it goes to missions. So today, what you give, unless you designate it for something else, it's all going to go for missions to help people locally and around the world. And that's a good feeling, isn't it? That is a good feeling. So I share that story with you to say what seems impossible to you today. And God has given all of us in this church an example of what once seemed impossible to us. What seemed impossible to us just a week ago has now become a reality. What seems impossible to you? Prasad Agmakar, think I'm saying that correctly. It's an Indian name. Had a father who was a Hindu priest. And Hindu priests will always follow after a mentor who is older and wiser than them. Prasad's father followed after a Hindu priest until he died. And once he died, he wanted more wisdom from this guru. So he and the followers went to the grave and they dug up the body. They exhumed the body of this guru Hindu priest a year after he'd been buried. And they began to bow down and pray to the remains of that Hindu priest. They were seeking wisdom. In the midst of this very unusual ceremony, a missionary came by. And he asked the men, "What are you doing?" And they said that we are praying to this dead guru that he would give us wisdom. The missionary said, "I want to tell you a story about a wise man who you don't have to dig up to get wisdom. But he was buried and he rose again." And over the next 6 months, this missionary would pray and talk and teach this Hindu priest. 6 months into the journey, he became a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. And then he led his children to Jesus Christ. And now Prasad is in the United States serving as one of your missionaries, a Southern Baptist missionary in Louisville, Kentucky, starting a church with the higher caste Hindus who have come over here to find jobs in the medical community. Isn't that amazing? What an impossibility that was changed to a possibility. And I pray that whatever is going on in your life that seems so impossible today, you will hear the memo of Christmas that nothing is impossible with God. I want you to join me as we pray, and then you feel free to respond during this time of commitment, however you feel led. Father, I pray that you would help us to believe that nothing is impossible with you. Lord, again, as we have said so many times, we find ourselves entrenched in the obstacle that says, "Yes, I believe nothing is impossible with you, but not for me." Maybe in other people's lives, you do what seems to be impossible, Lord, but not for me. Help us to believe you with greater faith and measure. And whatever obstacles of impossibility we seem to be facing in our lives right now, specifically those hurdles that keep us from being in meaningful relationship with you, O Lord, would you help us to trust you to break down those walls? Lord, we understand that all of our debt may not go away tomorrow. May. But you may be teaching us something far more important in the midst of those struggles. We understand that those difficulties, fears, they may not be resolved overnight, but it doesn't mean that you're not at work. So would you help us to lean more fully upon you and trust you? Help us to believe that Christmas memo that nothing is impossible with you, for we ask in Christ's name.